and move on to our last case for today, which is Kaufman against Peterson Healthcare. Ms. Summis.
Yes, good morning, Your Honors. Just adjust this.
If you hit it on the side, it'll go down, then just touch it when it's ready. Went too far.
There we go. Thank you. Again, Betty Summis for the appellant. Deborah Kaufman, may it please the court. We're here before you today on an Americans with Disabilities Act case and also a case brought under the Illinois Human Rights Act. Basically, for the purposes of oral argument today, I'd like to just distill the issues down to primarily the issue here is what standard is an employer held to when determining who is a qualified individual with a disability?
But could I change that a little bit? Because it seems to me, well, there are two things that struck me about this case. One of them is that it's often a factual question, but not always a factual question. What are the essential requirements for a job? And in this case, it looked to me as though Ms. Kaufman's testimony itself indicated that on Mondays and Tuesdays, her job included going over to the various residential units, getting the resident onto the wheelchair and pushing it back to the beauty shop, doing the hair or whatever she was doing there, and taking them back. Not so much Wednesdays and Thursdays, although there were always a few spillover people. So trying to figure out, is the transportation part of the essential functions of the job? It doesn't have to be half the time to be essential. My other issue is something that isn't really brought out in the briefs, but it troubled me about this. And that is, when you're trying to decide effects on the life activity of working, just because you can't do one job doesn't necessarily mean that you're disabled. I mean, there are all manner of jobs that I can't do, and I don't typically think that I'm disabled. I can't be an NBA player or whatever. You know, I don't have not a single qualification for that. But anyway, so she has this procedure, and she is limited afterwards, and yet I'm not sure whether her limitations really mean that she's, quote, disabled.
And I appreciate that. First of all, respond to the first point, if I may, that you made about the essential functions of the position. And what we're asking the court here is, in the guidance that the EEOC has issued in interpreting the ADA, we look more toward what is it that the employer is attempting to achieve versus how is it that they're achieving it. In other words, just because it's been done one way all this time doesn't
mean... Well, I don't understand. Someone has to push these people back and forth, actually a considerable distance,
yes.
Right?
Correct.
So that's part of her job.
Are
you suggesting that could be given to somebody else and she would do something else in this time?
Or what? Oh, Your Honor, what I'm suggesting is that the real essential function here is somehow transporting these individuals but not necessarily pushing them.
Well, how is she supposed to move them from one area to another without pushing?
Well, and that's what we don't know, and that's what the employer...
Well, wait a minute. I don't understand that. Are these supposed to be, all these wheelchairs supposed to be motorized or something, and then she pushes a button and they take off by themselves, or what?
Well, I do believe that there are assistive devices that can help
Would you be more explicit about that? What are these devices?
Well, that's what we don't know because...
Well, why don't you know? It's your business to know. But what is it, what concretely is the alternative that would be within her capacity?
Well, the alternative would have been for the employer to have engaged in some sort of a process with her because the employer
is
best suited.
Yeah, I wish you'd be more concrete. I don't know what you mean by a process with her.
Do you have
any notion of what an alternative might be?
The alternative could have been that she could have done the resident's hair in their room, which she had suggested to her supervisor.
What, she becomes their hairdresser in their room? Is that what you're saying?
They don't go
to the beauty parlor. The other residents do, but she never gets out of her room because your client can't push a wheelchair?
No, you're saying she goes to resident room one and resident room two and resident room three to do the hair in the rooms?
For those wheelchair-bound
patients. Wheelchair-bound people.
But what we don't also know is because she had these particular pushing and lifting restrictions, we don't know because there wasn't any give and take with the employer. We don't know if a 20-pound lift pushing restriction meant that she couldn't push a large person in a wheelchair.
Well,
I mean, there's
a physics question there that I've been pondering. But what I wonder, it seems to me as though there are some gaps on her side. She gives this note from Dr. Pfeiffer.
Yes.
She can't push over 20 pounds until released to do so. And I don't see her highlighting with Wall that last phrase, until released to do so. There's a footnote in the district court's opinion that suggests, I guess it's in July, you know, so this is all happening in February of 2011, and by July she has the full release. Is that correct?
I think she has the full release by July, but they're done speaking at that point because she has tracked Wall down on three occasions saying, please, isn't there something that we can do to try to find a way to allow me to do my job, reassignment in another position that's vacant within the facility.
Right, and she each suggests time, the laundry room. There's no evidence that there are any vacant positions.
Well, there's no evidence that the employer even attempted to look or engage her in any good faith process. And I think
because the employer stops at an earlier stage. The employer just says, look, you know, we're a nursing home. This personal grooming job, we'll say, I'm trying to be general, involves for us having, you know, this component of moving back and forth for a lot of our residents who are not able to handle that themselves. And we generally allow employers to configure jobs in a way that's efficient for them.
That's absolutely fair, Your Honor, but the employer has proven...
I'm bothered by your suggestion that instead of these people being transported to the beauty parlor, you could have her or someone do their hair in their rooms. That's not very nice. They don't want to be confined in their rooms all day. Probably the trip to the beauty parlor is a high point of their week, right? So they have to be gotten there somewhere. So she's not going to be able to do it. I mean, this is, you know, it's a significant difference, and the weight of a person plus the wheelchair, now I'm sure they don't weigh that much, but it's difficult. So is your suggestion there might be some quite different job that should be offered to her?
My suggestion is that the employer initially took the position.
Well, you suggested the laundry room, didn't you? Which struck me as odd.
I'm sorry?
Actually, wasn't there a suggestion that couldn't she work in the laundry room?
I think that she made some suggestions.
She did, which sounded to me like heaving around.
Well, yeah. Because she did help in other parts of the nursing home. But
yeah.
But the I guess the point here is that the employer did not know if the restriction was permanent or temporary. Initially, the employer stated that they believed that it was temporary. They stated that when they attempted to push forth a motion to dismiss, and then they turned around and they stated, no, we always viewed this as a lifetime restriction. And
well, that's irrational since it said until released to do so.
I'm sorry, you said it's rational?
Irrational.
It is, and that's the point that
we are making. But this restriction to 20 pounds, you could be restricted from 20 pounds without being allowed to do 150, right? So is there, does she have some condition that will prevent her from ever resuming her wheelchair pushing?
No, it was for the time period. She had a very extensive surgery. It was a hysterectomy. They did bladder reconstruction. They put mesh inside of her. And it was during a period where she needed to heal inside, where there was a concern during that healing period about the exertion of pushing very heavy wheelchairs.
And that's where I go to footnote 2 in the district court's opinion, which says, in fact, the documentation provided by plaintiff shows that her 20-pound weight restriction was not changed to a 50-pound weight restriction until July 2011. So 50 pounds is what is all they were asking for.
But it was her restriction was ultimately removed.
That's what I'm saying. It wasn't changed. So it's okay. So, all right. Well,
And it's also important to simply just note, because I wanted to finish answering.
Yeah, you can wrap up
your question. Yes, Your Honor, absolutely. That they were able to, the beautician that remained after Kaufman was let go, they gave her assistance in pushing wheelchairs. So it's clear that this was something that they could in some way accommodate, but they just, for whatever reason, didn't do it in the case of Ms. Kaufman.
The assistant, someone else, pushed them back and forth while she did air?
Yes.
She stayed in the beauty shop the whole time.
I'm sorry?
She would have stayed in the shop the whole time while someone else is pushing patients back
yes,
and forth?
Yes. And I believe that's the setup that they then went to after my client was let go.
Well, as I understood it, they went and reverted back to the original.
They ultimately did.
Yeah.
Yes, they ultimately did.
Where the hairdresser was doing the pushing.
That's correct, but my client was not asking to be forever excused from pushing wheelchairs.
She put her stuff down and left. That's what I'm curious about.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Mr. Kowaroff.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. May it please the Court. I represent Peterson Healthcare in this matter, and we're here to say that the District Court correctly determined that Ms. Kaufman was not a qualified person with a disability.
So there's this great ambiguity in this record, though, about whether she was asking for a temporary accommodation, whether Peterson Health understood this to be a temporary accommodation. Clearly, they did a temporary measure for Burrick, and if somebody had said, you know, for the next 120 days, can we arrange for volunteers to push some of these people to and from their appointments, the whole case could have been different. But Wall seems to have just jumped to the conclusion that this was in perpetuity, when that's not what the doctor's note said.
The doctor's note said that she had this restriction until released,
as
the court has pointed out.
So that doesn't sound like forever and ever, you know, I've removed her left hand, you know, she can't be a beautician anymore.
It was also the information about her surgery, which the facility knew ahead of time, which was that it was going to be hysterectomy and that there would be this mesh put in, and that would cause a issue with the pushing.
So they're making the medical decision that it's perpetual just because they know what the surgery is?
Well, I think the burden is on the employee to bring forth medical evidence that would require.
I mean, generally, a hysterectomy does not leave the patient unable to push things, right?
That would be my understanding, Your Honor, yes.
So I suppose that's why the restriction was supposed to be limited. So is she now capable of pushing a wheelchair with a person in there?
That's an unknown question under this record.
Why did the district court put that footnote in then?
About 50 pounds?
Yeah.
Can't speak for the district court there. It is in the record that there was
so it's
a
in
subsequent
the record, yeah. He didn't just make it up.
Right, right.
So I don't know that you can be quite this agnostic about it. I mean, it's a little troublesome that, you know, there's this unsatisfactory exchange where nobody ever nails down, you know, how long, what are you asking for? It's my impression that on this record, a rational jury could think that Mason Point or Peterson or whatever you want to call them, does make temporary accommodations, that there's some way over the short run to get over the lack of pushing people to and from their residence. And during that temporary time, perhaps other jobs could come up, you know, to just say, no, you know, we've decided that you're going to be perpetually restricted. Things going
How large
far.
Is the staff?
Don't believe that's in the record. It is a fairly large...
Well, I know. I'm asking you. I don't care whether it's in the record.
Okay. I would guesstimate that they probably have 40 to 50 people on staff.
Well, wouldn't it be possible to say one of those people, to tell them, you know, for the next few weeks or maybe months, Monday and Tuesday or something, you'll have to take an hour or whatever it is and move people to the, and, you know, help them get to the beauty parlor. Is that... Isn't that the thing? It's sort of thing that should the employer should consider before he terminates a person permanently because she's had an operation.
I think the issue here, the problem at that point here, is that different residents will have different hair care needs and have different.
Excuse me, have different what?
Hair care needs and have different.
Hair what?
Hair care needs. Basically, some people might just need a haircut. Some people
want permanent. I thought they're all taken to the beauty parlor.
They went to the resident's room, took the person to the beauty parlor, performed the hair care.
All right, so somebody gets a perm, and maybe somebody is still coloring for some reason, and somebody else just gets a haircut, and someone's got, you know, hair that's difficult to work with. But I don't see what that has to do with it.
It's because then the resident has to be in the wheelchair, and do you have an orderly there, basically there to run back and forth? Because different people will be there for different amounts of time. Are we now taking this to two people to do one job? And I believe that's where the court has said in the past.
Well, I don't understand. Two people to do one job.
The job is to get the person from their room to the beauty parlor
right.
for service and to get them back to their room.
So as a temporary accommodation, you can divide the job up into some component parts, understanding that eventually, as happened with Burrick, you go back and you repackage the job the way you like having it packaged. It doesn't seem like an impossibility. Some things probably can't be unpackaged permanently. Employers, as I've been saying, are entitled to define jobs. But you wouldn't have much room for the ADA if you just adamantly stood there and said that you weren't going to change even a tiny detail.
But I don't think it's a tiny detail. Because now if you have a person who has to wait until the hairdresser is done with the patient.
No, you just send them a text.
Why?
You know, Mrs. Smith is ready to go back to her room. And they pop over and take Mrs. Smith back to her room.
But then they have to leave their other job to do that, and that delays the other job from getting done. It seems to me, Judge...
But this is one person doing this, right? So if another person can do her job... And it's only a few hours a week, isn't it?
No, she worked 4 days a week, 35 hours a week.
But the pushing part only the aggregate takes a few hours. She was asking, I mean, the estimates are quite different on this. Some people are saying, you know, 3 minutes. Some people are saying 10, 15. I guess it depends how long you stand there and chat in the corridors with other people. But if you're really that busy with your other jobs, maybe you should keep the chatting down to a minimum.
Certainly, I'm sure there is a depends on how far away the person is being pushed, how much time
right,
they are
stopped. Were looking at the furthest building out and said right. If you just focused and pushed the wheelchair right over there, it wouldn't really take very, I'll say 5 minutes maybe, but although the record has some very low estimates.
Right. That is correct.
When I look at this diagram, I know this thing here.
Yes, sir.
It's sort of blotched out. I can't really tell what the numbers say, but as I understand it, though, many of the patients were in Building 13.
That is correct.
And then, was it Building 10 or 3 where the hairdressers were?
I don't recall the number exactly, but it was toward the very middle of the campus. So
what?
The hairdressing area is in the middle of the campus.
Yeah.
There's kind of one area which is in the middle of all the buildings.
Yeah, well, see the way this is set up. I know you've seen it, so I'll go from here. But there's a number 3 here. It looks like sort of in the middle. This is some sort of an annex or some one of them was.
Correct.
All I'm saying is that it also included ramps.
Correct.
And ramps to me are at an angle. They are in place of steps.
Correct.
Now, that means at some point she's going to be pushing uphill.
Correct.
And that's what concerns me here, is at what time, at what point after her time off, and obviously, you know, I've had two hernia operations, but I've obviously never had a hysterectomy. So this seems to be a pretty delicate situation where you have to put netting and other things, and the doctor says no pushing. Now, maybe there would have been a time later when, after all this occurred, when she put her keys down and left, that maybe she would have been released. What was her status when, I guess when she left?
Her status at the time she left was that she still had that restriction of 20 pounds.
She had the restriction when she left?
Yes, sir.
And then there's a question of whether they did the proper meeting and whatever you do to talk over, see if there are any alternatives, and then whether there was something else they could have done. Now, I don't know how to run a nursing home. I would have thought, hey, yeah, it's a great idea, because there's a lot of, you know, I don't remember when my mother was in bad shape, it was very important for her to go to that hairdresser.
Right.
That's once a week, get nails done and stuff, and it's just something, it's all they got left. And so that's right. That visit and trip, et cetera, was pretty important. And that, my question is, this woman worked there 20 years, right?
She worked at the facility for 20 years. My client only bought it over the last 3 or 4 years of it.
Your what? Say that again.
My client bought the facility within the last 2 or 3 years of her employment, but she worked for the prior owners prior to that, yes.
Oh, at that, a different facility?
Same facility, different owners.
Oh, different owners?
Correct.
Well, did the different owners do a different method?
I can't speak to what the Masons did when they owned the facility, but
right,
my client,
let's
Peterson...
Let's assume it was some sort of a consistent practice, that's what they
presumably.
Did.
Presumably.
You know, obviously, a lot of turnover in the patients, but pushing was what she couldn't do.
Correct.
And that's where I look at it's even whether it's 3 minutes or 10 or 15, pushing uphill on a ramp is not permitted based on at the time she left. That's the way I understand it.
That's correct, and I think that points out the course distinction between time-consuming and fundamental. It can be fundamental without being time-consuming,
no,
and that's, I believe that's the point.
It doesn't matter. If you can't push 50 feet or 500 feet, as I understand it, but that's all I wanted to clear up.
Thank you. Thank you, Your Honors.
All right, thank you very much. Anything else, Mr. Scott? Did she run out of time? I'll give you a minute. Wrap up. Yeah, go on.
So has she recovered her ability to push?
Well, as far as I know, she has recovered her ability to push, Your Honor. And I feel very strongly that when we look at the case law of the circuit and the ADA itself, there is a commandment upon employers, I believe, that you engage.
There must be other pushers, aren't there? Because these people don't just go to the beauty parlor. There must be a lot
correct.
Of pushing with
yes.
wheelchair-bound old people. Right?
There's
there
definitely
a common
are.
Dining area.
Yeah.
Well, as far as we know, that from what I know and what we've developed in the record, there were individuals that pushed folks in wheelchairs.
And I was saying, too, maybe a common dining area or
yes.
other activities?
I can't speak to that, but
there
must
be a common...
Were
they ever taken outdoors in good weather?
I don't know that answer, Your
I
Honor.
So. That's the sort of thing
I would
that's
hope
very
so
important
also.
To these people. Right?
I would hope so also. I will tell you that there is a particular... They have a situation where the hairdresser was not responsible for taking the patient out of the bed, for example, so a particular orderly would get them into the
right,
wheelchair,
right.
take them to the station, nursing station, and then they would wait for the person, in this case,
yeah.
the beautician.
Lifting a person out of the bed is...
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Thanks to both counsel.
Thank you, Your Honor.
We'll take the case under advisement. The court will be in recess.